Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly call to quarters for muster. I have every intention and therefore will accomplish my mission of making all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and the world in which we live at the end of the half hour that I am privileged to be able to share with you. And I can make that commitment because I am looking at my Voice of Vashon clipboard, and I can see on it the things that we are going to talk about today. So this is your Captain Joe. I'm broadcasting to you live, unrehearsed and unscripted, although I do work from a little checklist. On the Voice of Vashon, voiceofvashon.org, streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other. And if you are within reach of the Voice of Vashon signal, 101.9 on the frequency modulated band. But we don't put out with very much power, and because it's FM, frequency modulated FM, it is line of sight, which means that it does not reach down into the valleys. I live sort of down in a valley, and the signal does not reach down there. So whichever way you listen to me, my greetings to all of Captain Joe's people today go out to those who have been with me for a long time and who are now having some serious challenges, physical and or mental and or emotional and or financial and or ethical, and in some cases, probably all of the above. I am not one of them, but I am the place where you can go, the safe compartment in which you can come with me and tell me what is going on. And that takes me, of course, to the binnacleist. Because from the completion of my broadcast last week until just a few minutes ago before I started this one, I have been rogering for a number of signals from Captain Joe's people in various parts of the world in which they are telling me about what's going on with them, and in a couple of cases in great detail. In one case, I've had two long signals. They were telephone conversations. And in another, it was a letter. And another, it was an email. In each one of these cases, these are people who are reacting to my telling my own story. And I sometimes question my own motives in doing this. And yet when I get these letters or other communications from people who are essentially telling me, Captain Joe, by telling us about what's going on with you, you are opening up for me the opportunity to tell you what's going on with me. So in one case, it is a family with whom I have been associated and friends of family rank for almost as long as I've lived on the magical Isle of Vashon. A veteran dealing with an incredibly serious and painful cancer. And what I did not realize until I got the letter, which came in my post yesterday, was how much his wife was also dealing with which she was dealing. I tried to avoid dangling participles. And I felt then, and then when I received the second of two telephone calls, of which the first was almost an hour and the second one was 3/4 of an hour, from one of my people on the East Coast, someone to whom I am related by blood. I am, as a parenthetical insertion, related to half of Anglo-Canada by marriage, end of parenthesis. And so I make myself available to all of Captain Joe's people who feel that this is a safe place that they can go. I do not identify beyond possibly using first names, but I do not identify beyond that who these people are. And I do not go into any great detail as to what is going on with them, except to characterize it as either very serious or, as in my own case, we just need to work our way through it. So all of the people who have sent me signals who are on the binnacle list, you all know who you are, know that, as always, you are not only in the palm of my hand, but you are incredibly close to my heart. We touch fingertips. And through that, whether it be literally or figuratively, through that, we pass strengthening messages back and forth. One of the people with whom I have been sending strengthening messages, to whom I have been sending strengthening messages, I am related to by blood. And it's my hope that she and her daughter and her granddaughter will make a visit here, because if they come out here and become a part of this incredible friends of family rank that I have here, they're going to draw from that the strength that they need in order to overcome their particular challenges. So for all of you out there who are suffering, and I know some of you are, know how important and precious each of you and all of you are to me. In my own case, briefly, let it be briefly, Captain. A little bit rough around the edges this week. I had a long conversation with Mr. Foley and some corrective maintenance and was successful. A week from tomorrow is the day that I meet with the ever-lovely Vivian, and I am going to part company with Mr. Foley through her tender ministrations, and we're going to see how well I do. Oh, let it be a successful mission. One of the things that is customary in my world is that the logs for the first log the first watch of the new year, are always written in verse. I don't know how long this custom goes back. I do know that when I first started going to sea as a commissioned officer, holding the President's Commission, which was in 1956, in my first ship out of the academy, that we were on station and watching properly in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, Ocean Station Victor, 34 North, 164 East. And the logs, both the deck log and the engineering log, were written in verse. I also know that along with my requiring that this be observed in all of my ships, that I also wrote my night orders for the first night of the new year. I always wrote those in verse. I thought that some of my night orders were really, really good stuff, and so I've been looking around in all of my stuff, all of my gear. I've been looking in the bottom of my sea bag along with the clothes stops, which are always at the very bottom, to see whether I saved any of my night order books. When I was in Ingham back in January with my Stockholm family, we were up in the captain's cabin, and in the bookcase over the captain's desk, a desk which I had used when I was her captain, there was a collection of night order books, and I thought, aha, this was an aha moment. Aha, maybe there is one of my night order books up there. And we looked through it, and there were none. So the search goes on. Also, a much-loved friend left me a parcel here at the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, and the search for that, Laura, goes on as well. I've done a preliminary search and rescue mission looking for it and have not yet found it, but that doesn't mean that it isn't here. There are many little stowage lockers, gear lockers, pukas in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio that I yet need to look in. It will, your lovely gift, whatever it may be, will will indeed turn up. So, I am going to read you a couple of the logs from various Coast Guard units, and I am going to comment a little bit on each one of them. So the first one here is from the Coast Guard cutter Calhoun. Calhoun is a particularly precious ship to me because she is named for the first Master Chief of the Coast Guard, Charlie Calhoun. And I knew Charlie. I knew Master Chief. And I also knew his son. His son was a particularly unpromising seaman with me in Ingham in Vietnam. His son Mike went on to become a Master Chief Bosun's Mate himself and retired as a Master Chief Bosun's Mate. And he was the chief of the boat in the Coast Guard cutter Katmai Bay. And Katmai Bay is the lead ship of that particular class of icebreaking. They're called tugs, but they're a lot more than that. Small icebreakers, very competent little ships. Great first commands for fledgling icebreaker captains. Katmai Bay was assigned to me as a group unit when I was the commander of Coast Guard Group Sault Ste. Marie. And her first captain, her plank owner captain, was Dick White. And Dick had been my operations officer in Northwind in the Antarctic. You can see how we are all of us linked together. And his chief of the boat was Master Chief Bosun's Mate Mike Calhoun. So, Calhoun, the Coast Guard cutter Calhoun, named for Charlie Calhoun, the first Master Chief of the Coast Guard. And so here is the log. It was written by first class bosun's mate Andrew Schwartz. And bosun's mate Schwartz writes as follows. Once upon a time, at a berth not quite our own, Calhoun lies starboard side sharing a pier with a crew we do not know. The fasteners which keep her steady on Juliet, made twice yet, can still be ready. What he means there is that the line, he is at berth Juliet at the Coast Guard base in Sand Island, and the lines are doubled up. When he says made twice yet can still be ready, that means the lines were doubled up. Which once was whale oil, wax and wicks, now glass and filament shine bright at the top of the stick. Conditions have improved since the days of old. A few items received from our gracious host. Running water for one is a wonderful thing, and electrical power to make the ship sing. There is one thing we do give in return. That is our waste be sent off to burn. So what he's telling us there is that the ship is taking electrical power and water from shoreside, and in return, they're donating their rubbish, their waste. There, to ensure the crew sleep safely at night, material condition yoke is set right. What that means is that all of the fittings in the ship which have the letter Y on them are closed. And the word yoke is from the old phonetic alphabet, and we still use that. So when we say we're setting condition zebra, when I first came into the service, the phonetic equivalent for the letter Z, Z, was zebra, not Zulu as it is today. And we have continued that custom all the way up to the present day. Same thing with yoke. Today, the phonetic equivalent for the letter Y is Yankee, but we still say we set condition yoke. Orders, yes, orders we must take. Complete control from Atlantic area we await. I said she was at Sand Island. She's not at Sand Island. I think she's probably in Charleston. Maybe we'll get farther. Maybe they will tell us that a little bit farther on. Because Boats is telling us that their operational control is from Commander Atlantic area, which means they're on the Atlantic side. Conditions and statuses we get from command, as they are the ones that deal us the hand. Force protection is Bravo. Hurricane, we are in 5. And Charlie, due to the contractors that arrive. That means that she's in a maintenance status. She's in Charlie status, which means that she is in a maintenance status. Now, off in the distance, a neighbor we trust, our two small boats we hope do not rust. CG-26344 and CG-26345 are their names, patiently waiting to play the game. Ensign Bridenthal and MK1 Campos lead the section today, hoping the oncoming doesn't astray. What he's saying there is, oh, let the relieving watch come on time. Now that we have told all that, a little reflection to highlight the stats. The past year was full of adventure, commissioning for starters to kick off our tenure. Fleet Week we attended to wander Manhattan. A little annoying, mooring up in the island of Staten. I have moored at Staten Island many, many times when I was captain in Agassiz, and there is a nasty surge there. The final one to mention is the change of command. A new leader we have to set out the plan. That last year was flexible, to say the least. We hope this new one is not the same beast. As we close the first entry, let's be clear, only we can define our upcoming year. Well done, Bosun's Mate First Class. That's a lovely, lovely one. So here is one from Sand Island in Honolulu. This is the Coast Guard cutter Kimball. And the officer of the deck is Lieutenant Junior Grade Matty Clark. And Matty writes this for the 000 to 0400 watch. As fire marks illuminate the Oahu sky, Coast Guard cutter Kimball rests moored to the Delta Pier, port side. Although the town and beaches buzz with excitement, Bay Sand Island is calm, dim, and quiet. As the security watchstander ensures yoke, there we go, there's condition yoke again, is set throughout the ship, all others are celebrating with Mai Tai sips. The small boats in the cradles are secured for sea. Oh, how we wish we were on the beach and feeling the breeze. As others dance under the lights at Aloha Tower, Kimball is across the harbor on stable shore power. Coast Guard Base Sand Island is right across from Aloha Tower in Honolulu Harbor. With sewage, telephone, and internet services provided from the pier, ship stats being Charlie for maintenance and repair. So what she's telling us there is that Kimball is also in Charlie's status for maintenance. I hope this is not an ongoing theme with this particular class of ships. As others dance at Ala Moana Park looking their best, we prepare for the upcoming patrol of the Pacific in the west. BM3 Killian is the bosun mate of the watch. And Senior Chief, Operations Specialist Lincoln is the import OD, but man, do they wish they could be down in Waikiki. But then they think, someone has to stand the duty, so why not me? So to all who stand the watch during the holidays, we thank you for your devotion to duty as we bring New Year's Day. So those are some samples of the poetic work being done by some of our people who were standing watch on New Year's Day. And the log always must be in verse, and it always must include all of the information that is in the normal log for the first watch of every day. This morning I woke up, and actually I was awakened by the concerted efforts of Sailor and Blossom at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And that was to announce that regardless of where we were in ship's time, that according to cat time, they were hungry and they were ready for breakfast. So I got up with them, inspected and drained down the day tank, and fed them. And it then seemed to me that it was unnecessary to turn back in, and I didn't feel like it anyway. And as I said, I'm a little bit of rough around the edges. So I stayed up, and I was looking out through the big picture window in Captain's Quarters and looking across Puget Sound. And there was a sight there as the sun came up, as it always does in the east. And for me, it is right at 090, right across from my chair in Captain's Quarters. And as the sun came up, Rainier, the sun hit the snow on Rainier. And then I looked down, and as the sun was coming up and it was dawn, I saw the towing lights of a tugboat out there. Now, I really enjoy watching tugs. I've done a lot of towing in my life. I pull every ship that I've commanded, I've towed something. And so she was out there, and she was pulling a fuel barge. And she was showing the three vertical white lights. So I knew that she had the barge strung out way astern of her. And sure enough, not only was the barge out there, but she was making maybe one and a half knots. I didn't look at the tide tables, but my guess is that she was stemming an ebbing current, and she wasn't going very fast, but she was dauntless. And she just kept working away at it. And so that was what set the theme for my day. The rising of the sun, hitting the snow on Mount Rainier, No lenticular or cloud today, but and a tug, just working, a traditional tug, not a tractor tug, but a traditional tug with the propeller and rudder aft where they belong. Just pulling her little heart out, towing that barge, no doubt carrying heating oil to keep everybody warm. It was just a lovely, lovely sight. Next week, the whole situation in the Panama Canal will have settled down, and next week I will tell the story of my relationship with a couple of Panama Canal pilots. It's a little bit of a story that is a little bit longer than what I have time left for, but I promise, because I'm making a note here to talk about it, that I will tell that story, and it is one in which a pilot and I did not come to complete agreement. I will say this, at the in the Panama Canal, it's one of the few places in the world where pilot actually assumes command, control, and responsibility for the ship, and that's a situation that I really dislike intensely. So next week, I will tell that story. In the meantime, a term this week is the term fetch. Now, you all may think that when you throw a ball or something like that for your dog and you say fetch, and that dog picks up the ball and either runs away with it or brings it back to you wanting to have you do fetch one more time. But to a sailor, fetch is a distance. As in, there is a 3,000-mile fetch for the Pacific Ocean. When the wind blows out of the west in the Sea of Japan, and it keeps on going, and it roils up the water at, let's say, what was then Ocean Station Victor, 34 North, 164 East. That is a fetch of thousands of miles, and it has time to build up. And when we have heavy weather on Ocean Station Victor, it does not have to be typhoon quality. It can be just a long, long fetch. Not a dog, but a long, long distance. Also next week, I'm going to talk about the Hurtigruten. Hurtigruten is the started out being the mail boat to take all of the mail to the various communities along the coast of Norway, which could only be reached in those days by vessel. And so they were resupplied, and the mail was brought by a shipping company called Hurtigruten. Hurtigruten now has expanded their activities into running tours into Antarctica. But I'm going to talk about some of the older ships that Hurtigruten still runs on that mail run. And it is important to me that I make one of those trips. As you all know, and I will remind you, that I do not use the term bucket list. I do not have a bucket list. I have, though, places that I want to go and things that I want to do, and people that I want to see and I want to take with me for these various events. And the Hurtigruten along the coast of Norway is one. My final remark is about an event that I went to last weekend. And it was to a wine pairing dinner. I treasure and value all of the friends that I have had for years, and I treasure and value the new ones, and I made some new ones at this particular dinner. And so for Dennis and Anne-Marie and Dennis's parents, Jeff and Dodie, we had such a wonderful evening together talking about things that are of interest and concern that have nothing to do with politics. They have nothing to do with anything except just telling what we have done, each of us have done in our lives. And you all enriched my evening. And I'm just delighted to have met you. Once again, we are at the end of our time. This is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am up in the chair. I am doing really well. And I am counting on all of my people to follow the instructions of their medical practitioners so that they will share in all of that with me. Be aware of and know how much I love and respect and regard and admire each one of you. Each one of you is precious to me individually and all of you collectively as Captain Joe's people. Enrich my life every single day and every hour of each one of those days, all of those extra days that I have been given. I'll see you next week. I've already told you two things that I will talk about next week. And in the meantime, I am, as always, your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again right here. And this is your Captain Joe.